Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, Quebec's premier says he and Jason Kenney share some common priorities.
We also have a very important project, the gas pipeline that will start in Alberta and come to Quebec City. We call it GNL. We're talking about thousands of very well-paid jobs.
The Ontario government starts running anti-carbon tax ads.
With the federal government's carbon tax, you'll pay more for heating your home.
And Newfoundland and Labrador gears up for a provincial election.
For months, there's been talk about an election. I've been challenged by many, but at all times, I've remained committed to first delivering key parts of our plan for the people of the province.
It's Thursday, April the 18th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by National Post columnist John Iveson. Good morning, John.
Morning, Mark.
We're only one day into Jason Kenney being the premier-designate of Alberta, and already we're seeing some themes shaping up. Justin Trudeau had some comments about Jason Kenney yesterday, the premier of Quebec as well. We saw Jason Kenney positioning a fight with British Columbia, perhaps trying to court Quebec on pipelines. So some pretty major themes are developing as a result of the Alberta election, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think we should bear in mind that campaigns are different from being in government. And Jason Kenney, throughout his career, has proven himself to be a realpolitik politician. I mean, a lot of the rhetoric about turning off the taps for British Columbia, you know, essentially launching an all-out war on the Trudeau government over carbon pricing, over equalization, you know, I think they were playing to the crowd in the election campaign. I think we'll see a different tone going forward. I mean, it might initially be a very adversarial, and obviously with the federal election coming up, that adversarial tone, it may be in Trudeau's interest to maintain to keep the heat up. I mean, I see that Catherine McKenna, the Environment Minister, is saying we will impose the backstop on carbon pricing if Alberta repeals the carbon pricing law that was brought in by Rachel Notley. I mean, I guess you would expect her to say that, but I do think that things will settle down. Jason Kenney must know that his court challenges on the carbon pricing is not going to succeed. That any kind of court challenge that asserts that the federal government does not have jurisdiction on the environment is not going to succeed in court, as they haven't in the past. He must know that this threat to hold a referendum on equalisation is not going to go anywhere. The threat comes with a caveat, by the way, that's if there is no progress in the pipeline. So I guess if there is progress in the TMX pipeline, he can get out of that promise. But I do think that he wants to rebalance Confederation and give the West more of a voice. And when he was a minister in government, when he had a goal like that, he did whatever was necessary to achieve the goal. And most times that did not include bludgeoning all opposition out of the way and forcing through whatever his settlement was. And I'll just give you a brief example. I remember there was a refugee reform bill in 2010 whereby he got the support of the Liberals and even the Bloc to get the thing passed in a minority government. So I think he's a much cannier politician than many of the kind of bombastic, tub-thumping populists that we've seen elsewhere.
Is the pressure on Jason Kenney now as well to deliver on jobs and pipelines, the things that he was attacking the NDP government in Alberta over during the campaign?
Sure, but I think he's going to concentrate on the things that are within his own remit and within his own gift. Like, you know, they're going to bring down taxes for companies. The corporate income tax is going to come down, I think, from 12 to 8%. There are things that he can do unilaterally that do not involve costly and time-consuming wars with other provinces or with the federal government. Now, I'm not saying for a minute that he didn't believe what he was saying. I think he does want to rebalance the Confederation. I mean, I do think that this idea where Alberta's producing the oil that is providing the equalization money for Quebec and other provinces, and yet those provinces try and frustrate Quebec's growth, I think that is just maddening for most Albertans, and he will do what he can to change that. But there are other areas that were in the UCP platform. For example, he suggested that the money's being raised in income tax for healthcare and social spending be transferred to the province as a tax point, and then the province would have more control over that money. I mean, at the moment, the money is raised in income tax and redistributed by the federal government. There's no real reason that that needs to be the case, and that's one of the promises that Kenny made. And I think that, you know, there may be areas like that where he can get satisfaction. He can turn around to Albertans and say, look, this is what I did to fulfill the pledge to give Alberta more control over its own destiny.
Where does this leave the pipeline debate? Because obviously there's an issue on which the Alberta government and the federal government are on one side. The BC government is on the other side with regard to Trans Mountain. And then there are other pipeline prospects as well. So where does that leave us, do you think?
Well, I think it leaves Kenny on the same side as Trudeau. I mean, they have, just as Notley and Trudeau were aligned on the TMX pipeline. You know, Notley later became frustrated because the pipeline was frustrated. But Trudeau and co. were frustrated too because they bought the thing. So I think that if the federal government gives the go-ahead to TMX expansion, as seems likely to me, I mean, we've already seen the marine study has already landed. We're still waiting on the consultation with Indigenous Canadians. At some point in the near future, for its own survival, I think the Trudeau government is going to give the green light to TMX Mark II. And if shovels are in the ground on that project, then I think a lot of the pressure comes off Kenny, but it also comes off Trudeau. So in that way, their interests are aligned.
All right, let's turn to carbon pricing. You spoke about it earlier. The Environment Minister, Catherine McKenna, saying that if the Alberta government, the new Alberta government, scraps the previous administration's carbon price, that the federal government will impose, as it's doing in other provinces, a carbon price. In Ontario, Doug Ford's government is now running radio ads criticizing the federal government for doing that. And of course, they're fighting this in court this week. You've already alluded to the fact you don't expect that court challenge to be successful. But how do you see this issue playing out?
Well, I don't expect the mandatory stickers at gas pumps or the ad campaign to be helpful either. I mean, this is the ultimate tragedy of the Commons, where you've got pretty much everybody agreeing that climate change is an issue and then agreeing also not to do anything about it. You know, but it goes beyond not doing anything about it. Now the Ontario government is actively undermining the attempts to price carbon, which I think most sensible economists agree is the way to go if you're going to fight carbon climate change. And they're actively undermining it for political gain. And it seems to me, you know, I don't think anybody would confuse me with a Trudeau sycophant, but I think that on this one, they are in the right. The federal government has the jurisdiction. It is starting at a very low level, such that it, you know, gas prices go up and down all the time. They went up 11 cents last year. The totality of the Trudeau carbon price plan at the moment, as far as we know, to 2022, is for gas prices to rise 11 cents. Now, that is does not seem to me to be crippling anybody's economy. And, you know, but the thing has now become so toxic and such a political football that a sensible debate can't be had about it. But I do think at some point, Conservative parties across the country are going to have to get to grips with this, because we don't know what the federal Conservatives are going to do on climate change. We suspect it's going to be some regulatory plan. As any expert will tell you, regulatory is carbon pricing by another means, and in fact, usually more expensive, because the cost prices are handed on to consumers. But of course, none of that is explained to people by people who promote regulation. Just as in this case, the Ontario government's advertising campaign decries the federal carbon tax, but it doesn't point out that there's a rebate going to be provided by the government, the federal government, which means most people will end up either in a neutral position or even better off. So I think that that is underhand, and I think it's unfortunate that things have descended to this level where the issue, which is a crucial issue for any of us who've got kids, this is all they can think about, is the fact that when they grow up, the world may be it may be too late to change things. I think it's unfortunate this issue is the one of all that is now there's no clarity on it.
And it'll be interesting to see if it ends up being the issue in the federal election campaign this fall. Now, speaking of elections, we just had one in Alberta, of course. We have one next week in Prince Edward Island. Many people are wondering if the Green Party will make a historic breakthrough there. And now there's been an election called in Newfoundland and Labrador. And we've got this election in PEI next week and a Liberal government there that might be defeated, a Liberal government in Newfoundland and Labrador. Atlantic Canada, of course, has been a Liberal stronghold recently. The federal Liberals swept all of the seats there in 2015. Are we seeing the winds of change in the Atlantic region?
Well, I think we're seeing the winds of change everywhere. I mean, a shameless plug for the book on Trudeau, which is coming out in August. But while doing that, I was looking at the map in when Trudeau came to power in 2015. There were 29 million Canadians living in provinces that were run by provincial Liberal governments. That number is now 1.6 million. And, you know, it looks like PEI may shift. The most recent polls in Newfoundland and Labrador suggest that the Liberals are ahead there, so it may stay, along with Nova Scotia, I guess, for now. But that's a seismic shift in public opinion. Not all to do with the federal Liberal government, obviously. I mean, in Ontario, I think it was more related to just the length of time that the provincial Liberals had been in power, equally in Quebec. But that is a major change in the way that Canadians are governed. At a time when, in 2015, many people were saying, you know, the Conservative Party in this country is dead. This is we're now going to have Liberal governments in perpetuity. Well, it just shows you making predictions 4 years out from an election is a bit hazardous.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, John. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mark.
That's John Iveson of the National Post.
Alberta is going to fight for a fair deal in the Federation, and we don't think it's reasonable for other provinces like Quebec to take our equalization money while opposing pipeline projects that can help us to pay the bills within the Federation.
Now let's look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In Maclean's, Jen Gerson argues, ugly politics are in store for Canada. Gerson writes, Rachel Notley is a much stronger politician than Justin Trudeau. Jason Kenney is a more able contender than Andrew Scheer. The Alberta election campaign was a pairing of two of the strongest politicians in Canada. We saw a campaign so exhausting and divisive that even the kindly volunteer running my suburban polling station said he was exasperated by the whole affair and happy for the campaign to be over. It's a sign of nothing good to come. In the National Post, Rex Murphy argues Jason Kenney's resoluteness won Alberta and Justin Trudeau's hypocrisy helped Rachel Notley lose. Murphy writes, Jason Kenney is a miracle of political endurance, but he also had some generous outside help. He was hoisted onto an unstoppable juggernaut of a campaign with the cooperation of Justin Trudeau. Rachel Notley was hobbled from the very start. Trudeau was Kenney's strongest argument against her. If the Prime Minister had worked with the same zeal he exerts on global warming for Alberta jobs and a pipeline, she would have had more than a chance. At iPolitics, Paul Adams argues racism presents unusual challenges for journalists. Adams writes, It is the conceit of modern mainstream journalism that it is neutral, balanced, and objective. This is a powerful idea and has some merit. On the other hand, it can lead to the laziest conjuring trick in the journalist's kit, what is sometimes called false balance. Journalists need to report on racism without fueling it or giving it a platform, but they should not be confused about which side they are on. Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Marijuana Party of Canada will be holding a news conference on Parliament Hill today. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more.
Mark, if we haven't heard much from the Marijuana Party in the last little while, it's probably not that surprising. What with arguably a large part of the raison d'etre being eliminated by Ottawa's legalization of the recreational use of cannabis. But today, at 11:30 Eastern Time, in the press conference room on Parliament Hill, a representative and former candidate for the Marijuana Party will give his party's perspective on the need for the expungement of criminal records for criminal offenses, improvements in policing, and the necessity to improve the medical approaches to cannabis. The Marijuana Party says that 6 months after the legalization of marijuana in Canada, there are still many issues that have not been addressed, and that the Trudeau government still has to improve its policies and its practices when it comes to pot.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will hold private meetings. He will also visit an H&R Block location in Ottawa to speak about the Climate Action Incentive. Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland will be in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, to discuss the tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum and the benefits of the new North American Free Trade Deal. Health Minister Jeanette Petipa-Taylor will make a funding announcement in Moncton, New Brunswick. In Rouyn-Noranda, Quebec, Tourism Minister Mélanie Joly will announce financial assistance for the local regional tourism association. National Revenue Minister Diane Leboutillier will make an announcement in Chandler, Quebec. In Peterborough, Ontario, Minister of International Development Mariam Monsef will announce support from the Climate Action Fund. In Waterloo, Ontario, Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will announce investments through the Federal Economic Development Agency for Southern Ontario and the Strategic Innovation Fund. Minister of Seniors Philomena Tassi will be in Hamilton to mark the completion of an infrastructure project. Rural Economic Development Minister Bernadette Jordan will attend an infrastructure event in Halifax. Fisheries Minister Jonathan Wilkinson will make an announcement in North Vancouver. Treasury Board President Joyce Murray will make two announcements in Vancouver. And in Victoria, BC, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh will unveil part of the NDP's plan to tackle climate change, create jobs, and help families save money. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Thursday, April the 18th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns Tuesday morning after the long Easter weekend. Have a great weekend.